Recently, there was a solar eclipse in the continent of North America. And from it, there is quite some things we can gather about the light and the sun. Nothing in the universe can travel faster than light. And light travels at 3 lakh kilometers per second. Sunlight needs an average of 8 minutes 20 seconds for it to reach from the sun to earth. And the sun is about 150 million kilometers away from the earth. And despite the distance and the delayed sunlight, quite a few people gaze at the eclipse and end up damaging their retina. So, if one wants to see the solar eclipse, you have to be equipped, wear sunglasses. In our younger days, we used to look at it with take a negative, the negative copy, or burn a little smoke on the glass, and through that we used to see it in our younger days. And when we look at that, we realize that when the sunlight itself is so powerful, what do we understand of the creator of the universe, the creator of the sun? John has a lot to say about light. And before we look into today's passage, let's recall the purpose of John's letter in 1 John 5:13. That is the purpose of his letter, 1 John 5:13. He says, this verse directly states his overall purpose of John's letter, which gives believers the assurance of salvation. 1 John 5:13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. So the theme for 1 John, the whole epistle of 1 John, the letter, is assurance. How can we know we have been born into God's family? And last time we looked into 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. And it is a prologue. 1 to 4 verses is a prologue. It's a kind of before you enter a house, there's a portico. So you enter into the portico and then you get into the house. So it was a prologue what we had seen. Most of the letters and books in the Bible have a prologue before you come into the actual depth of what the writer wants to say. And here John references Jesus' eternal existence and his identical nature with God the Father. John also makes a claim to being a eyewitness testimony. He has personally seen these things, and he is teaching others about all that he has seen, he has heard, he has looked and touched concerning the word of life, Christ himself. Turn with me to 1 John 1, 5 to 9. We'll be moving into this passage, which is today's scripture, as I am continuing from what I had done last time. 1 John chapter 1 verses 5 to 9. And this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and we do not do the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So as we look into this passage, 1 John 1 verses 5 to 9, the theme that is cropping up is tests of walking in the light. Tests of walking in the light. And from verse 5, we must know What we must know is God's holiness. And this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. The standard is God. God is holy. You know, he is complete in holiness. He is so pure and holy that he shines. He is sinless. To us, there is no question of being better than others, of living a life above, you know, comparing with others. Because comparison with others is not useful in any way. The only yardstick to compare ourselves is with God, Christ, and his word. John is confident of his message and he says, and this is the message. He has a message to communicate. And the message in verse 5, it includes two wonderful things about the light. The first message that John heard from our Lord Jesus Christ, and John, he declares to us, is that God is light. Well, what does this mean? It means several things. God is light by nature and by character. Light is what God is within himself, within his being, essence, his nature, his character. That is what he is. And God dwells in his splendor, you know, his glory and the brilliance of light. Wherever he is, the splendor, the glory and the brilliance of light, it just shines out of his being. Throughout scripture, and God and his glory are often described in terms of light. For example, during the Exodus, God appeared to the Israelites in the form of light. The Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud by the day, and he led them on the way, and in the pillar of fire by night, to give them light in the way, that they might travel by day and by night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night, so that the people could go ahead. And the light was ahead of them. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai after meeting, after his conversation with the Lord, his face glowed with the reflection of God's light, God's glory. And his face glowed, it was so bright enough to frighten the Israelites. So Moses had to, you know, he had to wear a veil to cover his face, you know, he had to shroud the glory and the brightness. At the transfiguration, Jesus gave the three apostles, Peter, James, and John, a glimpse of his glory. He manifested himself as light. He was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun. His face was like the sun. And his garments became as white as light. Matthew 17:2. Christ underwent this dramatic change in appearance so the disciples could behold him in his glory, his radiance, his grandeur, his power. And the disciples never forgot what had happened that day on the mountain. And no doubt this was intended for them to see. So John writes this in the gospel. He says, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and the only one. John 1:14. So God is light in that he reveals the truth of all things. God is light in that he reveals the truth of all things. Jesus, the light, tells us that God is holy, righteous, and pure. Light is the symbol of purity and holiness. Light means the absence of darkness and blindness. It has no spots. There are no spots. There is no darkness or evil of any kind of sin and shame. Jesus, the light, He reveals, his light shows clearly the nature, the meaning, and the destiny of all things. His light beams in, it spots, opens up, identifies, illuminates, and shows things that they really are. The light of Jesus shows the truth about the world and man and God. The light of Christ, it reveals that God loves and cares for man and wants man to love and care for him. Jesus, the light, you know, he guides. His light allows man to walk out of darkness. Man no longer has to grope and grasp and stumble about trying to find his way through life. The path of life can now be clearly seen in Christ. Jesus, the light, does away with darkness and he away with the chaos. His light routs out, wipes out, strips away, erases the darkness, the empty chaos of creation was routed by the light given by God. Genesis 1:3. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Jesus Christ is the light that can save man from chaos. John 12:46. He says, I have come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. He is the light. And then the next message that John heard from our Lord Jesus Christ and John declares to us is that there is no darkness in God at all. There is no darkness in God at all. Any sort of it. John's message is this, and in him there is no darkness at all. Now what does this mean? Observe that none of the description of darkness are true of God. I'm not talking about the color coding, the black and white, like in the game of chess, the black and white. Darkness, you know, it symbolizes evil and sin. This is everything that life should not be, and everything that a person should not be. Darkness means that man is he's ignorant of God. So he's in darkness. Romans 1:21. For even though they knew God, they did not glorify him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their thoughts and their foolish hearts was darkened. Foolish hearts was darkened. Darkness. The darkness means that a person is foolish. He's futile in his thinking about God. Understanding about God. Darkness means that a person does not live and walk in the light of God and Christ. Darkness means that a person is blind to the light of Christ and stumbles in darkness throughout his life. Darkness means that a person does not understand the light and is powerless to extinguish the light also. He prefers darkness. The darkness means that a person does not see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The darkness means evil behavior and deeds. The darkness means that a person walks in the darkness of hate and bitterness against others. Darkness means that a person lives a secretive life, a life that is gripped by what is hidden in darkness and that cannot bear the light. Darkness means man, his nature, his eye, his heart are dark. Matthew 6:22-23. The eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Darkness means that a person's eye is focused upon evil. Therefore, his whole being is full of darkness and evil. The good eye looks to God as his master and fills the person with the light of God's will. The bad eye looks to the treasures of the earth and admits only the darkness of greed and self-interest. So there is the good eye and the bad eye. But the person's whole life will be determined by the kind of light the eye lets inside the body. Verse 6. We must show a transformed life. What we must show? What we must show is a transformed life. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and we not do the truth. John starts this verse 5 with a conjunction. You know, it starts off with if. John starts with if in these verses to introduce the circumstances, the bigger issue. And there are about five ifs over here continuously, verse by verse. Here John goes on to mention another human problem. The difference between our words and our behavior. Here is someone who says, yes, I believe in God. Yes, I am a Christian. I am saved. But their life is not characterized by the obedience to the truth. It doesn't display, his life doesn't display the truth of what he claims to be. The words of a so-called Christian are good. But his behavior and his actions, it contradicts his words. Too often we hear that a person has had an experience with God, but their life hasn't changed. They no longer attend worship. They walk in darkness. But from the outside, we still think they are saved, but they are in a backsliding life. The Bible tells us this is a lie. According to the Bible, true salvation results in a transformed life. There is no salvation without a transformed life. If you have a transformed life, it is shown outside. It is visible everywhere. Amen. In the church, at home, in the marketplace, everywhere. These days, if you travel in an aircraft, in a plane, the whole aircraft is a no smoking zone. 40 years ago, the whole aircraft used to be a smoking zone, and it used to be fashionable. And then restrictions started coming in. Initially, it was the first three rows that was restricted as a no smoking, and then half the aircraft was a no smoking zone. And the reason I'm telling you this is, I know of an evangelist, a friend of mine. He went to check in. He went to the counter, and he said, "Please give me my boarding card." Then the guy, the counter staff, my colleagues, they said, he asked him, "Do you want a no smoking zone seat, or do you want a smoking zone seat?" He said, "I want a no smoking zone seat. I'm an evangelist." And he's an evangelist, you know. He was almost trying to give him the gospel. He said, I know you very well. I just wanted to see what kind of an evangelist you are. You know, you are being observed when you go out. We too should be accountable to God and man. When we say we know Christ, we are accountable everywhere. Wherever we are, whatever, on the road, in the petrol station, market, talking to people. You know, our talk, our behavior. What kind of a Christian are you? It should be displayed. We should be able to show who we are, whom we are representing. And the lie is, they do not practice the truth. In verse 3 was John's first mention of a fellowship between both believers and with God. He was covering up. Then he picks up this theme again in verse 6. And then in verse 5, if God is light, you know, there is no darkness in him. Then a believer cannot both walk with God and walk in darkness. He can't do both. To make this claim, it is a lie, both to oneself and to others. The verses say that those who claim Christ but show no change in their lives, they are lying. This is it's typically interpreted as a reference to false converts or those who do not have the saving faith. Ever since the fall, man has tried to deny the reality of sin. Even though every human being, he is aware of the presence of sin in him. People today minimize the definition, the sin, its activities. They redefine sin. And often alleging that the failures in their lives and certain disorders exist because of other external reasons. Jesus taught that every person is sinful to the very core of his being. It is the foolishness of man to say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness. To profess to have fellowship with God and to live in contradiction, it is a lie. And they do not practice the truth. By the way, there is no such thing as a carnal Christian. A person is either carnal or he is Christian. He cannot be both. And the word of God is strong. It is clear in that. So if a person is saved and then he lives in the darkness of the world, he lies. God is light. Therefore, if a person walks in darkness, he does not know God. He is not in fellowship with God. Light and darkness cannot dwell together. To walk in darkness is to persist in sin, to continue the pet sins. A person has to choose in which he wants to live. Who his God is, who he worships is. He has to choose to live in either the light of God or in the darkness of the world. The major goal of the Christian life is to be in close fellowship with fellow believers and with the Lord. And this requires walking in the light, you know, obedience to the light, rather than darkness, disobedience. This reminds us of Jesus' words, John, Gospel according to John chapter 3 verse 19 to 21. And this is the judgment, that light has come into the world. And men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as having been done by God. Now, light reveals, it unveils, it shows the reality clearly. That is why criminals often commit their crimes at night. They do not want to be seen. Nowadays, they see to it that there are no CCTV cameras so that they can commit their crimes. Light reveals our true nature and our sins. Jesus tells us that man, in a sense, he is like some insects and these cockroaches or mosquitoes, you know, fleeing from the light, running away. They can't bear the light. And without God, man, you know, he feels uncomfortable whenever truth is spoken of. Verse 7. What we must do? We must walk in the light. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his son cleanses us from all sin. Once again, John starts with if to introduce the circumstances. If we walk. The important words to note here is, you know, light, fellowship, cleansing of sin. We have two benefits of walking in the light. The first one is that then we have a true fellowship. Verse 6, it spoke against walking in darkness. And verse 7 offers the contrast and calls believers to live according to God's way, his standards, what he has called us to walk by. And again, we find connections to the Gospel of John chapter 1. John chapter 1 verses 8-9 speaks of John the Baptist He tells about himself that he is not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was referring to Christ. Jesus was addressed as the light and the true light. John the Baptist spoke about him, calling people to repentance in preparation for his arrival. Now believers are called to walk according to Christ's ways. Man cannot fellowship with God and walk in darkness. The truth is that man must walk in the light if he is to fellowship with God. Now, what is the light of God? The light of God is a revelation of God himself. The Lord Jesus came to earth to reveal God. You know, Jesus Christ, he has the very nature of God. Therefore, he was able to show us exactly who God is, what he looks like, what he is. The light of God is the revelation of just how God wants us to live while we are here on earth as sojourners. When the Son of God came to earth, he told and showed us exactly how to live, exactly what God expects us to do. Therefore, to walk in the light means to believe in the Son of God who came to earth, and we are to follow him. If we walk upon earth believing in Jesus Christ and doing exactly what he said us to do, then we are in the light as he is in the light. This is exactly what the verse says. We are to walk in the light as he is in the light. Then we are cleansed from sin. Then we are cleansed from sin. If we walk in the light of Christ, then the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. This is a critical point to note. Man is sinful. He has transgressed the law, broken the law. Man has chosen to live like he wants to live upon earth, to do his own things. Man has ignored God, neglected God, disbelieved God, disobeyed God, cursed God, rebelled against God, rejected God, turned away from God. Man is guilty of all this. Guilty of offending God and transgressing God's law. Therefore, just as with any law, when the law is broken, the penalty has to be paid. In India, there is a bail. In some other countries, there are no bails. The lawbreaker has to pay, or else someone has to step forward to pay and the penalty for him. And this is what Jesus Christ did. He not only came to reveal God to us, he came to take our sins and transgressions upon him, all of the guilt of sin. Jesus died for our sins. He faced the judgment for us. He suffered the punishment for us. He bore the condemnation for us. Lord Jesus took the place of mankind, suffered the penalty for sin. The blood of Jesus was shed upon the cross for us. Therefore, to walk in the light of Christ means that we walk believing that Christ died for us. It means that we believe his blood cleanses us, his death purifies us from sin, that he actually paid the penalty for our sins, that we are thereby freed from the guilt of sin. When we walk in the light of Christ, God sees our sins covered by the sacrifice of Christ. He accepts us in Christ. Amen. Note the word purifies or cleanses. It is in the present tense. Purifies means the blood of Christ continually purifies us from sin. Purifies, it means we are walking in the light of Christ. Purifies means we walk in fellowship with Jesus Christ. We are constantly confessing our sins. We are living in an open confession before him. Hebrews 9:14. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. The writer to the Hebrews, he's using an argument from the lesser to the greater. The lesser is the blood of animals offered by the high priest on earth. The greater is the blood shed by Christ. The lesser had it was a ceremonial power. The greater can take away the guilt from our conscience once for all. It was superior to the cleansing capability of the ashes of the animals. Superior is the cleansing power of the sacrifice of Christ. Highly valued. There's nothing more valuable than that. For all that he has done for us. So the believer is to walk in fellowship with Christ all day long, every day, in all places. He's to walk acknowledging God in all his ways, praying, praising, and confessing his shortcomings and sins. The believer who walks in fellowship with Jesus Christ is being constantly cleansed and constantly purified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Verse 8. What we must deny, we are not that sinful. What we must deny, we are not that sinful. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. For the third time, John starts with the if to introduce the circumstances. If we walk. In this verse 8, a person, he basically denies his sin. He refuses to admit that he is in a state separated from God. He has convinced himself that he is good. And we know no man is good except for Christ. Amen. He refuses to consider God in the fact, declares himself by his own standards. You know, in doing so, he takes God's place. The Bible says that such a person, he is seducing himself or he is fooling himself. He is a person who has a proud stance and claims to have no sin. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? Any so-called Christian who claims to have reached a higher spiritual plane where sin no longer exists in their lives, they completely misunderstand their own condition, especially the Spirit's work of progressive sanctification in his life. Man says that he can reform himself to discipline and control his own life. Man thinks that he can do good and be good enough to make himself acceptable to God. All that man thinks is that he needs to be educated and understand himself in the world. The misconception, it is forcefully stated. We claim to be without sin. If we say that we have no sin, verse 8. Note that the word sin, it's not plural, it is singular. It's not sins, it is sin. The sin being talked about is sin as a root within man. A part of man's nature, as a principle, a law within man. No, the inward spiritual status, his condition, his life, that he has inherited and even now encourages it. Person who says that they can approach God on their own are saying that they have no sin, no root of sin, no nature of sin, no principle of sin, that their inward spiritual status is good. What scripture says about this misconception, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. No person can refrain from sinning. If any person thinks that he can refrain from sinning, the truth is not in him and he is utterly deceived. If we cannot refrain from sinning, this means that we have a nature, you know, a root of sin within us. Remember, Sin is imperfection. Sin is falling short of God's good and perfect perfection of God's law. Sin is missing the mark of His glory and His perfection. Sin is taking the wrong route to your destination. Sin means deviating from obedience to God's character and His will. With sin, man can never live up with God. Sin is misdirected worship. God is perfect, holy. Therefore, only Christ is the one who lives, and we can have His presence and we can follow Him. This is what man should understand. Through Christ alone can one be forgiven. If he misses this, then he misses the eternal salvation that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord, and the very Son of God who came to earth to die for our sins. The person who thinks that he can control sin enough to become acceptable to God has a low view of God and too high view of himself. Think how weak man really is. How weak his flesh is. He is not only sinful by acts, but he walks short of God's glory every day. You know, Jesus Christ is the only man who could ever claim to be without sin. Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Amen. All who claim to be without sin are only fooling themselves. But we who know Him, we have been justified by faith. We have been sanctified by faith. But then, it is not until believers are glorified in heaven that their sanctification process will be complete and that they will be without sin. We are going through the process of sanctification, but it is only when we are glorified we will be in His presence. We can say that we have been glorified and sanctified totally. So we come to verse 9. We must confess our sinfulness. We must confess our sinfulness, verse 9. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now for the fourth time, John starts with if to introduce the circumstances. If we confess. Here John doesn't say, if we don't confess our sins, God won't forgive us. He's not saying that. He's saying that if we confess, He is faithful to righteous to and just to forgive us of our sins. He emphasizes the fact that confessing is part of the new nature of a true Christian. Continual confession of sin is an indication of genuine salvation. When the false teachers would not admit their sin, the genuine Christians admit. Amen. To confess means to say the same thing. Confess means to say the same thing. To speak the same language. To be of one mind. Confession means agreeing with God about our behavior. Acknowledging our disobedience as wrong. Admitting that we have rebelled against God. Proverbs 28:13. He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper. But he who confesses and forsakes them will receive compassion. The orderliness and the well-being of one's life, it is linked to an intensely personal relationship with God. Unconfessed sin is the ultimate disorder in a life. Confession and repentance lead to a restoration of a right relationship with God based on His mercy. If we confess, it is a conditional phrase. Confessing our sins does not mean a shallow reciting of our misdeeds. It means owing up to God, it means owing up to wrongdoings, bringing out our lives into line with God's goodness and commands. God can forgive and cleanse us from terrible transgressions. We should note that all the verbs are in the present tense and they are still relevant today. A believer's way of life, he walks in the light, he doesn't hide his sins from God. He places them in the light and God forgives them, God purifies the believer, are all in the present tense. It continues to remain in the present tense. Confession must be continuous activity, not one that takes place at certain times at the end of the day, before you sleep or before the Lord's Supper, as some churches do. It is constant. It's a constant and ongoing activity. And it is good to have a practice, a specific time, your personal prayer time, family prayer time. Confession is, there is no stop for it, praising and confessing God. And as we see, God wants to forgive us. We must confess our sins frankly, but we must also trust and thank God for the forgiveness He has given us, He has promised for us. Confession and forgiveness are therefore constant and it is immediate. It's not later on. It's like a person, you know, having bathing in a river flowing with the, that is a river with the, with constant water flowing in a river. A person having a bath in a river. You know, he takes some mud and smears it upon himself with some mud. And as soon as he smears himself, the fresh water, the current washes him clean in the river. It is hard to stay dirty when you are bathing in a river flowing with clean water, with the clean, fresh water. In Goa, we are used to swimming in the beach. And once we come out of the water, we'd like to have a shower and wash the salt and sand away. To forgive our sins means that God forgives the guilt of sins. God restores our relationship with Him. He cleanses us and He restores us. When we believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord, and confess our sins, God counts our belief and confession as the guilt which Christ bore for us on the cross. We stand before God no longer guilty of sin. To purify us from all righteousness means that God cleanses us. He saves us from all the dirt, from filth, from pollution, contamination of sin. Not a single stain or spot of sin remains on us. We stand before God sinless and perfect. But remember why? He saved us. He gives the assurance that we belong to Him. His grace is enough. Because we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and confess that we are sinners who trust in God, in Christ, to purify us of our sins. In closing, I'd like to read out this to you all from the Free Grace Broadcaster. 264. A few copies are still left behind. You can pick it up. It's on. It is the theme is precious blood. Page number 22. He prayed till he groaned. He groaned till he wept. He wept till he sweat. He sweat till he bled. He bled till he died. And all to make us a warm bath wherein our cold and foul souls might be washed pure and clean. Never was anything washed at so high a rate as the Christian soul. Thomas Adams, 1583-1652. Let's pray. Gracious God, we just want to thank and praise you for your word, Lord. Especially as we are going through the epistle, the letter of John, Lord. He has written it, and we are thankful, Lord, for the assurance that we have, clearing our doubts whether we have been born into God's family. We thank you for all that you have
clarified in your word, Lord, and given us an opportunity to come to your holy presence, Lord, in spite of what our fallen condition is. We praise you that we can know who you are. And it is only through your grace can we take our daily walk with you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We pray in Christ's precious name. Amen. Amen.